Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the SOM TV podcast. My name is Jason Wise. Well, big news. The next SOM movie, I know many of you have been waiting, is coming this weekend. As it stands, if you're listening today, it comes October 6th to Los Angeles, then to Chicago the following weekend, October 14th and 15th, and then Napa the following weekend, and we have a lot more screenings planned. Go to somfilms.com. I'm so excited for you, all of you listeners, to see this movie finally. It is it's a hell of a film, really dangerous movie, really special. Whenever we release one of these movies, everybody asks us, how do we get the wines in the film? And it's been a challenging thing because we make these films based on story and not which wines are going to be in it. So we follow the story. And in this case, we were very careful to make sure that you could actually get the wines. The wines from Armenia, I fell deeply in love with making this movie. They are incredibly delicious. They are incredibly affordable. People talk about these regions where you can get wines that are underpriced or undervalued for how hard they are to make or how good they taste. Armenia fits all of those things, and it's about to explode. So we are going to tell you to go to storicawines.com. Storica is one of the premier importers of wines and the biggest importer of Armenian wines, and their wines are in this film. And I want to tell all of you that they're going to sell out. So go to Storica Wines, S-T-O-R-I-C-A, wines.com. Grab the wines from the film. As we roll out, you're going to want to get a few of these bottles to drink when you see the movie. Trust me on this one. The story's bonkers. On today's podcast, I'm going to speak about Armenia and its reclaiming 7,000 years of its culture of winemaking. No country in the world has gone through more strife and had more accomplishments in wine. And any glass of wine you have ever had owes a debt to this country. It's astounding. And nowhere can you drink wines where the grapes are almost in their exact same state they would have been 7,000 years ago, but Armenia. So on today's podcast, I'm going to speak with wine expert and Armenian wine sommelier, Anush Garbian O'Connor. And we're going to talk about that entire evolution. Anush, it's an honor to have you on the podcast. It is a long, long time coming to speak to you about or around this film that we have been making for many years called Cup of Salvation. Obviously, people know it's about Armenia, or at least takes place. Much of the film takes place in Armenia. And so it goes to logic that I would have one of the experts on Armenian wine on this podcast to talk about it. I'm going to try very hard not to put any spoilers for the film out here, which you have not seen yet, but it's going to be tough. So welcome to the SOM TV podcast, Anush.
Thank you, Jason. Thank you for having me, and thank you for your kind words. I am so excited about this movie. I remember seeing the first Instagram post with a picture in Armenia, and that was in 2020.
That was in 1989.
And since then, I've been counting days and looking forward to see the movie. So I cannot wait.
We have a lot to talk about, but I want to say just straight up to the listeners here, I think Armenia is, it goes far above and beyond the next great wine region of the world. And it's hilarious for me to say that it's the next great wine region because it has a history that goes back at least 8,000 years. And it's just a tremendous place that has some of the most ancient grape varietals in the world. So let me just ask you quickly, from my own interest, a film about Armenia and wine, what does this mean to you as an Armenian for this to be coming? Why is it important?
Well, it's important for me on so many levels, on personal level, on professional level, on a historical level. So being an Armenian, and if people came with interact to the Armenians, I think you know that we like to find a smallest and slightest thing that is Armenian and announce it to the world. Let's say we're watching a movie and everyone is paying attention to like the final, like the cast, and then you find an Armenian name, you point to it. And so to have a movie about Armenia and Armenian winemaking is huge. Yeah. And this is because through the movie, this brings an attention to the country. On a personal level, because while I went to the Armenian wine school in many years ago in the Agrarian University, my teacher, he kept talking about French wines, and his stories were so mesmerizing. And I kept thinking to myself, is there going to be a day when someone is going to talk with an admiration and so much excitement about the Armenian wine? And here is a whole movie about Armenian wine, or a movie that takes place in Armenia about the wine that's going to be told to the world.
You know what's great, and it takes a lot of people to make a film. So when I say I made this film, I'm really talking about a large team and an incredible cast. And there are a lot of members from the previous SOM movies that returned for this film. But I can't express to you how harrowing, dangerous, exciting. This movie is not, this is not a straight up wine movie per se, but it is also a movie that is everything I believe about wine. Wine is about a lot of things, and wine is, you know, I've always looked at wine as something that you can tell almost any story through, but I've never had such a grand palate, never in my life. I mean, people who've seen Into the Bottle think, you know, it's about a lot of things, but this is the biggest story we have ever told. And it's geopolitics, it is everything, and wine is directly at the center. So transitioning to that, let me ask you another broad question, because we're going to talk about a few of the grapes that grow in Armenia. We're going to talk about some of the history. We're going to talk about why, if you're smart, you should probably buy as much Armenian wine as you can right now, but not so much that it gets too expensive for me, please, everyone. But I want to ask you, how come, why aren't people talking about Armenian wine? If it has this history that goes back 6,000-8,000 years, why isn't it being talked about like France or Italy or even Argentina, or places that, why aren't we talking about Armenia in the vernacular?
Good question. You know, actually, I think a lot of people are talking about Armenian wine, but it has been, even though it has been 6,000-8,000 years, we have not been in the forefront of being the winemaking country. And there's been so many reasons for that. Armenia, from its existence, you know, we have gone through wars and we have been under different occupations of different empires where we were not allowed to make wine. And so then comes the Soviet era where we, even though we grow grapes, we have the culture of the winemaking, we were assigned to be producing brandy. And so it just has been the last 15 years that Armenia has been producing quality wine. And I attribute that to a lot of Armenians who immigrated, and then they came back to Armenia because they knew that there is a potential. We have the history of making wine. We knew that we can make a world-class wine. And within these 15 years, it has been that Armenian wine started to gain some light. And if you consider it just being 15 years, having so much coverage, I think it's pretty good. So if we keep going with this speed and trajectory, I think that in another 10 years, I love Argentinian wine. I think we will be maybe as popular as Argentine wine or French wine. So I think it is, we are getting noticed. We're getting noticed for quality wine, for interesting varieties. We are getting noticed for interesting story. And with the movie, it's going to be even more.
I certainly hope so. I mean, look, the country itself deserves, you know, the movie itself, I'm glad it can be a match strike, but I mean, you guys have already built the wood. You know, I mean, when I went there, so just as an outsider, you know, somebody being from the United States, I've never been to that part of the world. For people listening, Armenia, if you live in, say, Los Angeles or somewhere in the middle of the United States, you put a pin right through the world. It's on the exact opposite side of the planet. So it's 11 or 12 hours difference, depending on the time shift. And I didn't know what to expect. When we landed there, I was kind of blown away by how beautiful the country is. It is a staggeringly beautiful place. It's very rugged. It is one of these things that you can see why people were able to survive there for so long and also wanted to defend it. And so it is an interesting place because you can't walk around without feeling the history just dripping from every rock. And there's a lot of tragedy, but there's also a lot of triumph. And I mean, this film itself, you know, is about both of those things, I think. But when I got there and we started tasting the wine, you have to know there's a lot of great stories in wine. And a lot of times the wine doesn't live up to the stories. I live this on a daily basis where there are incredible stories we want to tell, but the wine around it is, it's okay, it's good, but it's not as good as the story. And this was one where I just can't believe how good the wines are and how affordable they are. And they are, and I mean this from my heart, they are stunningly good wines. And it started with, I want to talk about Arany. So I think one of the big problems with a lot of, I'll call it emerging regions. I know Armenia is a big history, but the grapes are hard to pronounce. The wines are hard to pronounce. The wine rules are hard to understand. But when I got there and I was handed a glass of Arany, which is the, I would call your flagship grape probably, and probably one of the most ancient grapes in the world. I just couldn't believe it. I was jet lagged and I was kind of loopy, and this glass touched my lips and I went, holy shit, this is tremendous wine. And I'd had it here in the States, you know, and I'd had different variations of it, but there's a lot that doesn't come here yet and it's starting to get here finally. I couldn't believe how good the wine was. And it still, to me, is like, here we have a story that goes 6,500 to 8,000 years old. It encompasses 100 wars, 20 empires, communism, all of these things, and yet the wine lives up to all of it. It's insane. I mean, I just have to say on my own rant that when you're presented with that, you realize how important it is you don't mess the story up. And so I hope when you see the movie, it doesn't. But I want to talk about Arany, this Arany grape. Are you prepared for this to be the grape that Armenia is known for?
Yes, absolutely. So Arany grape, thank you. And thank you for all the compliments. It's always great to hear all the positive feedback about the wine industry, the country, from non-Armenian people, because there is also the thing, it's like, say, oh, you know, you guys always say you have the best this, you have the best that, you're the best at this, but thank you so much. So I think Arany varietal is such an ancient and such an mystical, mysterious variety that it is absolutely deserves a spotlight in the world. It deserves a spotlight between Cabernet, Syrah, Pinot, Nebbiolo, all of those varieties. And I think what is coolest about Arany is that the remnants, the seeds of those grapes were found in the vessels that were in the cave. And the oldest cave that has been discovered that has the winemaking facility with all the equipment, with the press, with the goddesses, the clay amphoras, is located in Armenia, and it's also in Arany. So Arany is it's a village, it's a city, it's the region, and it's the grape. And it can be sometimes confusing when people say Arany, what are you talking about? Are you talking about the grape? Are you talking about the village? Are you talking about the cave? So it's all called Arany. Maybe it's simple, maybe it's complicated.
I think it's easier. It's more complicated in France. I think like the way people are used to it is that it's not that simple. I think being the place, being the grape, being the village, easy.
Yeah,
to it's me, easy. I mean.
Okay. So they found the seeds, some seeds, and they have traced with the DNA that relates to the current day Arany. Now, of course, it has mutated, it has developed, it has changed through the things. There's also another study that one of my friends sent from Armenia that they said that there were Arany growing around the cave. And that also, that Arany varietal has been related to those seeds. So currently, I think there is at least, if I'm not mistaken, over 30 or 40 different species of Arany. And that is also another fun thing about Armenia and Armenian winemaking. Even though we're so old, we're so new, we need all this research to be done to identify, you know, which is the clone, you know, which clone does this, which clone does that. So that's why maybe some of the wines that you taste Arany are a little different from the others, but it's all work in progress. But to me, Arany, because it grows in high elevation, in volcanic soils, slow ripening, it concentrates all the flavors, all the aromas. It creates such an elegant wine that it absolutely, when you have a sip of a good Arany, you want to know more, you want to hear the story. And it does take you to the places where you are wondering what has happened centuries ago here.
I agree. It's also a wine, though, that can be made in different styles, which is a really unique thing. People have asked me over and over and over again during the process of making this, and I've asked others, I don't really love this question, but it's still, what does the grape remind you of? What is it like? And I don't have an answer for that personally. As someone who's tasted a lot of wines, it's not like a Pinot. It's definitely not like a Cab. It's not like any of the Bordeaux varietals. But the one thing I think it's kind of like, kind of, is Syrah. And the reason I say that is less in the taste and more in how malleable Syrah actually is, but yet how hard it is to get perfect. And I find Arany can be made in a way that can be very, a bigger wine, a much more structured wine. It can be made in a wine that you would want to maybe put some chill on. It can be made more approachable. There's a lot of styles you can do with it, but it is definitely one of these grapes, very similar to like Nebbiolo, where I don't know how well it would ever grow anywhere else. I think Armenia has really got a lock on being able to do this right. I mean, there's a vineyard, a very harrowing thing that happens in the movie that we filmed in, that's very high elevation. It might be the highest elevation vineyard in the Northern Hemisphere. And for the farmers there, it's just, these are just their grapes. But for the normal wine person, you look at the elevation and you go, I cannot believe there are grapes here. It is so wild. And I don't know another grape variety that could pull that off besides Arany, grow at such an elevation and make great sparkling wine too. I mean, as we know, you know, and you'll see in the movie, our main characters, they make a sparkling wine that is tremendous. I mean, you say there's 15 years. There is nobody 15 years into a wine region making sparkling wine out of a grape like this at this quality level. It just does not exist, I'm telling you. So does the Armenian wine industry, are they going to be happy to have Arany be their flagship thing? You know, kind of like Argentina has Malbec or Bordeaux has Merlot and Cab. Is this something that is a good thing?
I think so. I think we love the grape. It sounds really easy to pronounce. It's delicious. It's been there for centuries. If you go to any village in Vajot Zor, every household makes their own style of Arany, which is one is delicious from the other. It's just like homemade wine. People are noticing it, and it is a good, interesting variety to be out there as our flagship. So for the red, Arany for sure, and for the, and we call it the, some people call it a queen, some people call it a king, and then for the white, we have Voskehad, which is the golden berry or golden piece. And that is the flagship for the white wines.
And Voskehad's a little harder to say. So that's why
I think.
I think for Europeans, you know, probably for European, the Russian market, the American market, the Canadian market, I think Arany's like, oh, I'll have a glass of Arany. That's easy to say. Voskehad is a, you know, I think you're entering like the peak pool territory or something where people don't know, you know, you're a little afraid to say the word, maybe. I don't know. Voskehad's
delicious. But you're doing it really well.
Well, you know, I've been to Armenia. So.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Well, we'll start with Arany, and then we'll work on Voskehad. That's fine. I'll take it. Because then we have Khandogni, we have Khatun Kharji, we have different ones that are even harder to pronounce.
Wait, so what was the last one you just said?
Khatun Kharji.
Yeah, I'm not going to try that one.
Khatun Kharji is the Kharji is one of the sparkling wine whites. It's one of the blend, the grapes that are in the blend. It's Voskehad,
right.
And then Khatun, or you say Khatuni or Khatun Kharji.
Khatuni, I can't say it properly, but that's how I've always said it. And do you think the pronunciation and the words are one of the biggest obstacles you have in getting this out to the world?
Possible, but you know what? I think that today's wine drinkers are very enthusiastic about learning about different countries, different varieties, and they are willing to try their best to pronounce the varieties and to learn more. So maybe it could have been an obstacle, I don't know, 20, 30 years ago. But today, I think I don't see it as a challenge. In contrast, I see it as something exciting and people just saying, hey, you know, like on a party, I just had a little Khatun Kharji and they're like, what? And then you start telling about it. So, I mean, I always look at these things from the positive perspective rather than negative. It's a window to learn and to grow. When I was doing my master's in Texas, you know, people were like, oh, your name is Anush. I mean, it's not really hard to pronounce, but they would say, can we just call you Anne or Annie? I'm like, why? It's like, why can't you challenge yourself and just try to pronounce my name? Can you do it? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, well, there you go. Let's do it. Why change the name? So I think I don't see it as an obstacle. I just see them not knowing the wine, but once they know, they'll be willing to pronounce the name.
One thing that really blows me away about the wines there is how crazily affordable they are. I mean, I'm sure this is part of the evolution of the wines are relatively new to the international market. But what is the actual wine culture in Armenia right now? And, you know, what's the current state of wine in Armenia?
So again, with these 10, 15 years, now it's 17 years, the wine culture to Armenians is new as well. And they are also learning how to experience wine, how to appreciate wine, how to talk about wine. And the reason that I know this is because one of my best friends, she owns the most iconic wine bar in Yerevan. And Capital. It's called Invino. And when they started the Invino, people would come to their wine bar and they would ask them, so what do you have here? They'll just like, just wine. Just wine. What do you mean just wine? What do you do? Just come sit there and drink wine. During Soviet Union, the culture was unfortunately drinking hard liquor, vodka or brandy, which we call cognac. But wine was considered a drink for women. And it was usually a mediocre wine, which was like semi-sweet and very oxidized. And you weren't even sure what was in it with these funny names. Well, not funny names, but they had like names from, let's say, was called Jerez, like, but it had nothing to do with Jerez, but had nothing to do with it. It just had the name on it. So that was the culture. And for them to get to know that, you know, you can sit down and enjoy the wine without having a cigarette smoke next to it, which is, you know, can inhibit your, and in Armenia, a lot of people used to smoke. I think it's like getting less, and not saying, I mean, I smoked myself for the longest time, but just, it just takes away from the whole experience. So this was a place dedicated to the wine. And for people, it was an odd thing. Fast forward 5, 6, 7 years, this whole street where this wine bar was became called the Wine Street. They pop up different wine bars, wine schools, wine courses, everything. And this movement has started, and even the locals now appreciate the wine, which they didn't do before. So this whole culture has been reintroduced. And it's Armenia is like, this is a common phrase that everyone using. We're living through the Renaissance of the wine. It's true, because before that, like I said, no one was really paying much attention to the wine, and we did not have good wines to honestly to be proud of or to appreciate. And I know some of the Armenians would be listening and they're like, what is she talking about? I went to the wine school. My undergraduate is in winemaking. I've been to many places and I haven't seen anything or tasted anything that is even close to what you can taste now. I went there last year. The wine bars are packed. People are there for their meetings. They are there to learn about new varieties. It's a complete different, like 180 degrees, like complete opposite of what it was when I was there, when I lived there.
This is fantastic, Anush. I love seeing the culture change and, you know, kind of be reclaimed when it comes to the wine in Armenia. I have a very, very strong feeling, not just because of the film, but because of how good these wines are, that this is going to be a big thing in the United States as well. I can't say enough about the wines and the culture. It's great. I want to thank Anush for being on the podcast and talking Armenian wines. I want to thank John Adams for producing this episode. And I want to tell everybody that Cup of Salvation is opening in Los Angeles this weekend. If you're listening to it after, it's playing October 6th through 11th, at least at the Lemley Glendale. Full theatrical run opens in Chicago October the 14th and 15th, and then Napa the 20th of October. And a lot more dates coming. Go to somfilms.com to check that out and get your tickets, because they are selling out very fast. We're very proud to say that. I also want to remind everybody, when we release these movies, every SOM film that's come, we've gotten a lot of people saying, how do I get the wines in the movie? This one, we were very careful on this release to make sure that you would be able to get the wines. So the major importer of Armenian wines and a very special wine that's in the film from Iran is Storica Wines. And I want to remind all of you to go to storicawines.com and pick up these wines, because they are going to disappear, and they are just stupendous, stupendous wines, especially for the price, my God. So go to storicalwines.com and get yourself some of the wines from the film Cup of Salvation. All right, everybody, enjoy a glass, and I will talk to you very soon.